Well, we managed to get ourselves a little bit of a break from our cannabis science with the election last week, but time to get back to books and studying and learn a little bit more about the truth behind cannabis with our good friend, Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Russ.
Hope you had a great week last week with the election and all.
Indeed, it was delightful.
It was a lot of fun. We have a couple of topics we were talking about last week that we weren't able to get on the air because, again, of the election results that we had to cover. But most recently, you attended a random student drug testing seminar. Tell our listeners a little bit about that subject and what you found out.
It was a little bit startling, but the Office of National Drug Control Policy, you know, the Drug Czar's office, has a whole summit devoted to bringing random student drug testing into the high schools. Some of the listeners are familiar with this, but basically anybody who wants to participate in an extracurricular activity would be subject to random student drug testing. So if their number comes up, they have to literally pee in the cup, and then if they test positive, there are various penalties, including potentially having to leave that extracurricular activity. I was pretty flabbergasted by the whole thing. I think people were in the audience uniformly a little freaked out about this whole idea. The presentations were very artfully done. Everyone was clear that, you know, the testing alone is not enough. You really do need to have some kind of treatment, some kind of counseling available, and things along those lines. And they were, you know, quick to point out that it need not be an expensive program or things like that. But there were other aspects of it that kind of disheartened me. For one, some of their legal counsel was quick to say things like, do high school students have a right to privacy? Sure, but that doesn't mean we can't do this. And I felt like the presentation of adolescents as somehow foreign or, you know, different from us paralleled some other things we see in, you know, prejudice research and things along those lines. So it was very, very scary. When I asked questions like, what about data suggesting that this doesn't work, I was uniformly brushed aside, and critiques of those studies came out in, you know, really effusive, energetic language. But then, you know, three speakers later, somebody would present a study that had the same problems supporting random student drug testing, and I, you know, of course, wasn't allowed to comment on that. So I found it a little bit scary. I was really grateful to some representatives from the Drug Policy Alliance who were there, and they have a wonderful second edition version of their pamphlet, Making Sense of Student Drug Testing, Why Educators Are Saying No, and that's on the Safety First website, and something I'd really recommend to folks, particularly if they've got sons and daughters in high school who are subject to this kind of absurd attempt at preventing drug problems.
Well, Dr. Earlywine, I think you were trying to get in the way with facts and reason, and they've already got their minds made up, it sounds like. They're not wanting to hear all of that. With this student drug testing, you mentioned it was for extracurricular activities. We're not talking about just sports activities where there could be an argument about danger, are we?
Unfortunately, no. So someone has, you know, been kicked out of the choir for this kind of thing, or not allowed to participate in the school play as a result of student drug testing. And again, I'm not saying, you know, adolescents should go out and shoot heroin or something like that. I mean, really, you know, I'm behind folks who want to minimize negative consequences of drugs, particularly in adolescents. But I don't feel like this is an efficient, respectful kind of way to go. And unfortunately, the data really don't support this. The one study that they kept mentioning is one of student athletes that came out fairly recently and actually didn't show any changes in drug use in the past 3 months. And also, these athletes tended to have much more negative attitudes about drug testing and about the efficacy of drug testing and decreasing drug use. The other argument that really didn't get addressed at all is just that, what is the drug that stays in your system the longest? Why, it's cannabis. What drugs tend to go through your system very quickly? Some of the abusable stimulants like methamphetamine or Ritalin or things like that. Mm-hmm. And in fact, nobody seemed to want to address me on this idea that this is in fact forcing students to use drugs with worse negative consequences, even though this would be, you know, maladaptive, a bad thing as far as those things are concerned. And I also, you know, emphasize the idea that alcohol is by far the most rampant high school drug of abuse, and people sort of gave, you know, head nods to testing for alcohol use, but it really just didn't have the same kind of enthusiasm.
Yeah, it almost seems as if they think of alcohol abuse by teenagers in high school as kind of like a rite of passage, and that, you know, boys will be boys or something like that.
It was funny because a lot of these folks seemed like they were ready to have all of us be drug tested. So a yeah. guy who runs one of the drug testing companies mentioned that he takes urine screens as part of his job, and that he, you know, requires it of his employees as well. And one of the principals from another school said she thinks that the high school teachers should also be subject to random drug testing. And I thought, you're never going to have another high school teacher ever again in the state of New Jersey. And it was just, it was really frightening how these folks seem to think that the use of illicit substances is some sign of bad character, or that you're an evil person, mm-hmm. and that we need to jump in on these kids right away. And I just felt like anybody who was willing to look at the negative consequences of drugs, if somebody's grades are falling, if somebody's just doing poorly in general, or if somebody's just having any kind of life troubles, go ahead and intervene, whether their pee has anything in it or not, because odds are high, problems are problems, and this is a great time to respond. And creating this sort of weird police state authoritarian situation that essentially leads kids to, you know, purchase things to try to fool the drug screens, or go to all these efforts to switch drugs to drugs that are worse, is just really going to break down the relationship between adults and teens.
Well, the other maddening thing to me about this is in this drug testing for the kids that are in the extracurricular activities, you know, if, as far as I can remember back in high school, it wasn't the kids in drama club or French club or the football team necessarily that were the ones that were experiencing drug problems seriously. It was the kids who weren't in the extracurricular activities. What does the research show about kids and extracurricular activities with respect to drug use?
See, that was a haunting thing. So to get the boot from an extracurricular, you're essentially taking people away from this thing that is a buffer against drug problems. But also, the reason that they can only test those students is public schools are essentially mandated. You have to go to school if you're a certain age, and they can't force you to go to school and force you all to be drug tested at random. Ah. And people were lamenting this, like, oh, darn, we ought to be able to test all the kids. Jeez. And it just felt like, in some sense, this is how we build up these ideas that teens are foreign, teens are from another planet, oh my God, you know, and it turns into this weird us and them situation instead of, hey, we're all one big happy family here, anybody who's having some problems in any domain, let's go ahead and interview now instead of waiting until I find some kind of metabolite in your ear.
What do you think about, I've always speculated a little bit that a lot of this student drug testing is more a training ground to train young people to get used to the idea of not having privacy, so that when they get to the workplace, they're less likely to resist workplace drug testing.
I found that frighteningly true. Some of the people I talked to in the audience were basically part of some on-the-job training or just job training programs, and they said the only reason they really want to test is that their graduates are going to go on to these jobs where they'll be tested when they're applying for the job, and they don't want to waste all their time training these people if then they're going to get the boot at the initial drug test. So it's sort of a, well, we're only drug testing because they're drug testing. And it just freaks me out that essentially the rationale for student drug testing is now because workplaces drug test. I mean, that's just haunting. And I've, you know, mentioned this before, but there really aren't data suggesting that on-the-job drug testing has increased efficiency, and in some domains, particularly computer programming and things like that, has actually hurt efficiency to conduct these kinds of tests. And the bottom line is, if you want to have a good worker, have a good worker. And if they're doing a poor job, intervene because they're doing a poor job, not because of any kind of behavior they happen to engage in outside of the workplace.
Yeah, that's what we've got to keep advocating for. And for people that are interested in getting involved in fighting back against this, a really good organization to check out is SSDP, the Students for Sensible Drug Policy at SSDP.org. They keep track of, you know, students and student issues with regard to drug testing, and you get a lot of resources from that website. To take another subject that we were going to talk about, there were some ads that came out from the ONDCP. They've got this this anti-drug campaign they've been on for a while, and 2 weeks before the election, they released a series of print ads. We posted them up on the Stash if you want to take a look at them, particularly the one that was called Become a Burrito Taster, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I was so flabbergasted by this, I honestly couldn't figure it out. There's a big sign. It says, become a burrito taster. It's got this sort of Latin-looking guy holding up a burrito. And it's one of those ads that relies on the idea that the more cognitive processing you have, the bigger its impact will be. You don't realize it's an anti-drug ad until you get towards the bottom. And it says things like, you know, there is no such thing as a burrito taster job. We're not trying to be your mom, but there's not a lot of jobs out there for potheads. Well, first and foremost, Kasner's data published over a decade ago suggests that, in fact, folks who use cannabis pay the same amount of taxes, seem to earn comparable amounts, and one subset of his sample, the men, seem to actually smoke more pot the more money they earn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying smoke pot in order to get a raise. I'm just saying people with a lot of money can probably afford more pot. But this is so flagrantly racist. I mean, a burrito is such obvious Mexican food. I'm sorry. There's no way around this. And this guy has a mustache and dark hair and all that kind of stuff. So it's clearly like this weird Latin feel. And so, I mean, some friends of mine and I were saying, what if they had said, become a matzo ball taster, for example?
Yeah.
I mean, we would see the dramatic racist components of this under those circumstances. And it's supposed to be a joke, but in fact, it ends up being really offensive. And then the idea that they're actually targeting cannabis, which is, you know, by far the least problematic of all the illicit drugs, also seems, if not comical, kind of weep-worthy, because it just simply doesn't have the sort of impact that I would imagine anybody would want to have on negative consequences of drugs. So there we are. We're left with this kind of weird thing. I hope folks would go to this. This is the pushingback.com website, and they have a blog with the Become a Burrito Taster thing, and they're asking for feedback on this. And I'm encouraging folks to go and say, this is really offensive, and I don't think it's going to have any consequences in the direction you'd like it to have.
Yeah, and when I did my post on this and they noted, you know, there's no jobs for potheads out there, I said, you must have forgotten podcaster for normal.
Exactly.
There's at least one job for us out there. I'd also pointed out how it's interesting how the drugs are, you know, in talking to the teens in this, you know, pushing back ad campaign, wants to demonize this idea that there's not a lot of jobs for potheads out there. And yet when they take their message to the business leaders and try to get them to do drug testing, they will lament that 75% of all drug users are employed. So, you know, it's like, and considering that, you know, most of the drug users are marijuana smokers, then that's a whole lot of employed marijuana smokers they're trying to scare the businesses with to take up drug testing. So it seems like they want to have it both ways here.
Well, and the thing that came through to me at the summit is they really see this as some kind of characterological flaw. It's not that you're smoking pot, it's that you're the evil person who would decide to smoke pot.
Ah.
And that's just, you know, impossible to even talk to them about rationally. It's really kind of a shame.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, we'll keep fighting against this and trying to educate people one by one and let them know that cannabis users are no different than the rest of society. They just pick a safer intoxicant by many stretches of the evidence here. Dr. Earlywine, thanks again for joining us here and giving us a look at the student drug testing. And we encourage everyone, like you said, check out that pushingback.com and give your comments on the burrito taster.
Have a great day, Russ.
All right, thanks a lot.